of us?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then.
I don't know how much contact you had with Tom McCall when he was governor, but, you know, there were a lot of things that went on, and the beach bill, the bottle bill, you know, things that he was involved with over Vietnam and Mark Hatfield, the Vortex Rock Festival, which was trying to keep things from erupting into violence with the Legionnaires convention in Portland.
Right.
But you weren't, that wasn't when you were, was that when you were on the city council?
I was on the city council then.
You were?
Yeah. Oh. We weren't close when I was in legislature, not half as close as we were when I was a reporter in Salisbury. I just didn't see that much of Tom. We were good friends.
Right.
And I could always have gone to him if I had to on something. But I tried once, and I got the milk for the babies.
What about the energy crisis? Because that did impact Portland, didn't it? When they turned off all the lights.
Had that bureau, too. And we put a bureau of the lighting bureau or whatever it was called. That was under Public Works. And Mike Lindbergh was my Public Works director. I hired him for that job, and he was good at the job. And he had, I assigned him to help push the lighting measure because we were the street lights. Lighting was, the price of everything kept going up, but the levy didn't.
Yeah.
And so we pushed the street lighting levy and passed it. And we turned off the street lights. It was more of a symbolic thing than anything else. We were trying to get the need for conservation across to the public that they would not use their lights, and they'd go around seeing all the street lights going, and
But
the bad thing about that is street lights are safety measures, and so it makes you very, very nervous. You have to walk this fine line. Which is more important? Do you do this or do you do this? Nothing is ever clear, black and white, I've discovered.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible dilemma at times. I think what we ended up doing was alternating lights, didn't we? I think we turned them all off at first, and then we alternated, I think.
Then they also had alternating days for fuels, too, for gas. Remember when they were trying to defuse the crisis over the gas pumps, gas rationing?
Yeah.
And they had...
there were alternating
days or for odd and even numbered license plates.
Numbers, I think.
Right.
Did we do that in the city, or was that a state? Must have been the city must have done it, but I didn't recall. Gee, age is a terrible thing.
And then, of course, there's the Tom McCall Waterfront Park, which has greatly impacted Portland.
Yeah, it's neat.
So were you involved in any of that happening?
Oh gosh, was I in legislature when that big hassle? It was because to close. That wasn't Front, was it? We still have Front. What was the street that we closed?
The highway that...
It was a state highway there.
State highway that went down there.
Yeah, because Front exists, and it was the state highway that just ran right along the river. Well, I think it's a good thing that happened, and it certainly... But boy, was that a hot issue.
I bet.
And I can't remember if the issue was... I guess the city closed it. But how could they close the state highway? Because it was in the city limits? I can't. Isn't that terrible? Terrible to forget some of this. All I remember, it was hot and heavy, and I think I was involved, but it might have been from watching the other the other jurisdiction doing it. I'm sorry, I'll just have to, I'll look back at some of the notes and some of those clippings and see if I can.
What about the relationship of the city with Governor Straub when he became governor? Now, that would have been also during your, was that during the time you were mayor too?
Yeah. No.
At the very end? Before Atiyah came in, or was it when Atiyah
was there? No, Atiyah was in when I was also a commissioner at one time.
He was elected in 1978. Atiyah was
the
governor. And Straub was from 74 to 78, or 75 to 79.
He was? Well, I was a commissioner then, because I was a commissioner from 70 until 80.
Well, maybe there just isn't that much contact with the governor's office, but there must be on some level for the state.
There usually isn't all that much contact.
Uh-huh.
It was Atiyah who would call me on occasion when he wanted something done about his rug firm here in Portland, and I was so startled. I thought, Dick.
Vic.
Okay, there we go. But I can't even think of his first name. I had known him a long time, but I was a little startled about that. And then also, he was very upset when I think it was Hatfield who called and told me that he wanted to let me announce something that happened that they were doing on a Fed level that affected us. And I thought that was very nice of him to do that. He was always very supportive of me. But I had a call from Atiyah who was really uptight about this, because I did what Mark said, and we announced it and credited him with putting this through for us. And then Vic calls and want to know how come I was announcing this, that he as governor should be announcing it. And I says, good Lord, Vic, it never entered my mind. All I know is that Mark called and offered that I could make this announcement, so I did. And he was muttering. So my contacts with Vic have been kind of, he was a nice guy. In fact, when they had that party for me, the farewell party, both Vic and Tom were there, and they were sitting on opposite sides of me, and everybody was amazed. They said that they didn't know anybody in the world where those two would show up at the same event for. This was the only, a first and only.
Well, maybe you could tell me a little bit about how the president of the council works when that's evoked and what happens.
Oh, the only thing that I ever noticed about that was that the president of the council became mayor in the absence of the mayor. Now, if there were any other duties, I have no idea what they were. Uh-huh. And the council voted, as I recall, they elected the council president. But it was almost in an alphabetical, it would just move on around every, I forget how often, 6 months or year, maybe.
I think it was every 6 months.
Something like that. And it was just sort of automatic. I don't think anybody would have on the council would have taken issue with that, because they would know then that when it became his or her turn to be named council president, why that right. could backfire. So if they got petty, Mildred Schwab was strong on pettiness, but I think that was a place where she wouldn't have used it, because...
Well, I remember reading one article, and I think I actually mentioned this earlier when everybody was gone to the National League of Cities meeting. I think it was in Texas that year. And the paper quoted you as saying, I think I'll use the day to reassign some of the bureaus. Mrs. McCready quipped, and I'll get my fire bureau back.
That was fun.
But you wouldn't have done that.
Oh, hell no. I mean, goodness gracious, no. I wouldn't have. For a day.
Right. Were there other stories to be told about people being president of the council, things that might have happened?
That I can think of. I know one thing. Terry I was very touched on two occasions. One was when Terry held off having some surgery until I was president of the council. He wanted me to be the acting mayor instead of Frank. Frank preceded me, I was surprised because Frank had been his employee, his administrative assistant, before he ran for the council. He'd worked for Terry. And so maybe that's why. Maybe he knew him so well.
What was he afraid that might happen?
Well, he just felt that I'd do a better job for the city. When he was out of town attending the Japan America Conference of Mayors and Chamber of Commerce Presidents, not the longest title known to man, Frank decided to have his office redecorated and brought a consultant in from back east and had it all recarpeted and all that beautiful natural oak paneling stained dark for power, you know, the power. And Terry was furious when he got back I wasn't there when that happened, but I was told this by other commissioners. It was a real hot thing. But he just, I don't think he trusted him. And then the same thing happened when Gordon Morderud, who was the fire chief, I think I told you this, he retired earlier than he would have. It was while I was still, was it mayor or fire commissioner? But I think I was I fire commissioner? No, I must have been. I don't remember whether the mayor names the new the fire chief or whether it was the fire commissioner. But anyway, Morderud came to me and said he was going to retire. He wanted to know he said, I'm not trying to find out something. I'm not prying into your private decisions, but he said, I want to know if you decide that you're not going to run again, because I want you to name the, I'm going to retire, the new fire chief instead of Ivancy. Yeah, and I was really, that touched me a great deal. He had more confidence in my judgment, and he didn't.
And you did.
I guess so. I can't remember now.
Well, actually, I had some questions for you about budgetary issues, because that must be a big factor in the city's operation.
One big horrible miasma.
Well, in 1971, the budget was $3 million short. And I was wondering, is balancing mandatory like it is on the state level? Does the city have to have a balanced budget?
Gee, I can't remember. Well, I think so. I know that I certainly wouldn't have. Yeah, I think it has to be, because we had a budget, and if we added something to it, we had to cut something else out.
Oh.
The mayor prepares the budget, but then the council has to approve it, and we would take it. Well, it used to be line item budget, and then it became programmed, and that was. There were all kinds of tricky ways that every time we get a new budget director, he would come up with some way of improving the budgetary process or updating it or whatever, and I remember I was really aghast when I became mayor and had to do the budget, and the budget director came in to talk to me, and he says, now what do you want? What kind of a budget do you want? And he says, I can make it work. And I said, well, you know, like, what do you mean? And he said, in effect, he said, I can make it come out to look however you want it to look, you know. I was really aghast. I never trusted that guy again. You know, I was just, I thought, the fact that, and I knew he'd been budget director under Neil, and so,
There we go.
How do I, now I don't have any idea what he pulled off, you know, for Neil.
Well, what are the different methods of financing projects and increasing revenues?
Oh, dear.
There's like bonds can be issued or
that's right.
increased fees for services.
And then there were, what did we call that you could finance sewer systems and stuff under a thing called?
Revenue sharing?
No.
Levies?
No, it was a system where people could form a something district,
improvement.
Local improvement district.
Right.
Yeah, LID doesn't sound right, but that's probably what it was. And there probably was a one with a sewer thing.
Or local utility, sometimes, aren't they called local utility districts? Well, whatever, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It was that sort of thing. They could form this, and then they could take a long time. The city would loan them the money to do it, and then they could pay it off gradually.
Right.
Because what happens is when somebody, particularly when they annex to the city, and they, if they want to put in streets or sewers or something, the people are... who have the property that is not up to city standards, they have to pay to bring it up to city standards. And then the city, once it's at city standards, the city takes over and maintains it forever. Right. But the idea being that the folks who are already in the city and they have already paid, they've already brought their streets up to city standards,
sure.
and they shouldn't have to be paying to get the other streets to the standard, but then everyone should pay for the regular maintenance. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of sense, but it was sort of hard to get it across to some of them. And the same with the sewers. And those things are massively expensive, as you found out when you were facing that kind of a situation. But they, to be able to do that way, made it cheaper. In the long, they could do it gradually over a long period of time. Right. Then we had a thing where, did I do that? Was it legislature that I did this, or was it in the city? It was in the city. It's when I inherited Public Works, and I came up with a brainstorm to allow people to... particularly older folks. It was aimed for older folks who, when they were faced with one of these big, costly projects, that the city would pay for having it done, and then it would become a lien on the property. But then when those people died or sold the property, the cost was picked up by the people who bought the property, but they knew what they were getting. You know, it didn't come as a big sudden blow to them, because I was so upset when I had Public Works and we'd have people testifying against certain improvements that they just plain couldn't afford.
Yeah.
And yet it made sense to do it. It wasn't right to put it off onto someone else, because everybody had already picked up their share before, but some of them had particularly little houses on big hunks of property, and they would be outside of the city limits at the time the folks bought the houses. But when they were annexed to the city, that property could be subdivided into 10 or 6 or 4, whatever number of houses. But these people didn't plan on doing this. They just wanted to live in their little property.
Yeah.
But it made the value of the property higher, and that property should carry the burden of the price. So I was very proud of myself when I came up with this one, I got it passed. But unfortunately, not very many people took advantage of it. At least at the time, either it wasn't all that well publicized, or primarily. I think the older folks did not want to have that encumbrance. They were scared of it. They probably didn't trust government, and they didn't realize that it was something. They didn't want to leave it to their kids to pick up a bill like that, so they probably just toughed it on out themselves. But at least I provided them a way of being able to keep their property and not having to move, to lose it, to sell it then, because it just made me sick to see some of these very sincere little old folks that were just in deep trouble. Other means of financing. There was, well, God bless Carter's administration. They were so sympathetic to the problems of the cities.
Were they?
Oh, you bet they were, much more so than his predecessors or successors. We came up with, we had wonderful federal grants, matching funds for things that, it wasn't giveaway or anything like that, but we were allowed to apply for grants that made a lot of sense.
Was that revenue sharing?
Yeah, there was a lot of revenue sharing, and then there were just flat-out grants from various departments, but they like matching.
Right.
But
CETA funds, things like
there
that.
There were CETA funds, right. Most of those were for the housing and urban development and people. Type. Well, I can't think of the word that I wasn't really all that much for. I did one of the things that I tended to agree with Ivan C. on, one of the few, was that I did not think the city should be getting into housing of the elderly and the low income and what do you call those kind of he called them do-gooder things, but social services.
Right.
The city just didn't, they are not assigned that by charter. They do not speak to that. And of course, the fact that the charter was not the beginning, the end all.
Right.
But
but still.
But
it was a guide.
All the other forms of government can push the responsibility for something down to the next notch. The feds can dump it on the state can dump on the county can dump on the city, and the state and the feds dump on the cities. Everybody, but there's no place for the city to push the responsibility for something off onto somebody else. We're the bottom line, and we have to provide the services. And so my feeling has been that we have to provide the basic services and let those social services and things go where they were started, most of them, along with the county and the state and the feds. But I digress.
No,
but,
not at all. Because
but those
I,
kinds of funds. What?
I was going to ask you because Goldschmidt said that the most shocking thing about the budget to me is to learn that the city already is receiving as much money from the federal government as it is taking from property taxes. Was that true?
I don't know.
Because they did cut off federal revenue sharing after a certain point, didn't they? So that must have been a pretty big blow to cities when that happened.
It was tough. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think Neil was mayor, and we had this big battle in a budget session. He recommended, and I supported Neil 100% on this, he recommended that we hold a lot of these funds back as for rainy day type funds, invest them and be getting money on them, interest on them, the stuff that we could do that with, lots of it we had to use and had to be spent by a certain time on that issue or it automatically reverted to the feds, but some of it we could take and put it in the bank until we absolutely needed it. And Frank was out pushing for our doing all paving all the streets and doing all that kind of, and spending that money. Right. He'd keep pointing at that money; it was available. And I hung in with Neil because we were doing a lot more. Yeah. We were spending a great deal on this. And I had public works at the time, and mine was the bureau that would have benefited the most. But I really thought that it made a great deal of sense to be braced for when and if that money wasn't going to keep coming. And we hung tough. I forget who we had with us. I don't know whether Mildred or who else voted with us, but she probably went with Frank. She usually did. So it was by the other commissioner. But anyway, we supported Neil on that. But as soon as Frank went and took over, he just erased. He used up every nickel in that thing just right now. So we could it hit the city a lot harder.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, also, people were floating the idea of having a municipal income tax. I think Terry Schrunk suggested that.
Yeah, he promoted that. And
Lloyd Anderson, I think, did too.
Yeah, and I was for it, too. It makes a great deal of sense. And I remember that that came up at one of those maligned luncheon meetings when we talked about this. And then I remember Terry asking Neil if he would lead that, be in charge of that campaign to push the city income tax, and he said he would, and then the very next day he ran down to Terry's office and backed out of it, because he had, his campaigning was so, he had thousands of campaign people and all these young folks. Oh, did he ever have the young folks following? He sat on my right when I was a commissioner. He was on the end to the right. I was between the mayor and him. And I'd look out in the council chambers, and here were all these pretty young gals of age or not. And they would sit there and they would look up at Neil with this adoration in their eyes. I never saw such adulation. And he'd recognize it, and he played to them all the time. It was unconscionable the way he'd put on this. When he wanted to be charming, he could put it on with a blanket or a trowel or a spade or whatever you wanted to say. He could just really charm them right out of their, I'll say, socks. But anyway, oh, I can't remember how I digress. What happened? Where were we when I said
that? we were just talking about his support, original support of the municipal income tax.
That's right. And so they thought that his campaign group was still close together because he had just really won the election. And he had said yes, he would lead it. He chickened out. But that made a great deal of sense, because people come over from Vancouver, Washington, and they make their income in Portland, and then they take it all back, and they spend their it goes to, they don't pay a nickel towards the lights, the electric lights, the water, the sewers. They use all of our services, but they don't help pay for it.
Right.
But it was a very difficult thing to try and promote to the public, and the very people who would benefit from it would be the city dwellers, because they were paying for it all out of their property taxes, and these other people who were getting the free ride, it would have been the same amount of money, but it would have been shared amongst a great deal more people, and people who live in the city limits would be paying a lot less. But try and get that across to them, no way. And so the very folks who would have benefited, defeated it, because the people, the nice thing about a city income tax is the people who would be brought in to help pay couldn't vote.
Yeah.
It would only be voted for by those who lived in the city, but unfortunately they didn't. And